W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios.
This is the WTH Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the WTH Podcast. If you are watching us live on YouTube, welcome. Well, hold on. Live on Facebook.
Yes.
Welcome. Yes.
Welcome.
This will also be live. This will also be on YouTube later.
As just an archived footage.
Well, it's going to be the whole show.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a whole playlist on the Darling New Media YouTube page.
It rolls one after the other.
So you can check us out there. Help support the show by clicking the Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra and throws a couple of bucks our way with what you buy. So we're back on Facebook this week. As we're recording this, there is a celebration going on live in downtown Sacramento, as the Sacramento Republic have been given the honor of being the 29th MLS team.
Bam!
So Sacramento is Major League.
Finally.
Soccer.
Yeah.
That brings us to the same level as illustrious cities like Portland, Salt Lake City.
Yes.
And Columbus. Although Columbus has an NHL team and an MLS team. So that's where we are. That's where we rank. But big excitement. They're going to be breaking ground in the rail yards, I believe, in the next day or so. They are so shovel ready that they're going to be starting construction like the day after the announcement. That's how far along this process was.
Well, they've been sitting on it for like 5 years.
Right, but they actually have the permits and everything that they need to do to get going.
Yeah.
Just because somebody sat on something for 5 years, there's a big hole at the end of Capitol Mall in Sacramento where they've been waiting for a skyscraper for longer than I've lived here.
Yeah.
It was an old story when I moved here 12 years ago. And
there's a couple of holes downtown like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of a-holes downtown. Anyway.
I thought Major League Soccer was going to do it to him again.
You know, I think one of the big officials from the Sac Republic was on. I saw him on TV a little earlier tonight, and he said he's glad they didn't get the approval earlier because they wouldn't have had all the things in place that they needed in order for this to happen the way it happened. So it's sometimes when you don't get what you want right away, it ends up being better in the end because you weren't quite ready for it.
Right. Sometimes you don't get, you know, what you want, but you get what you need.
Yeah. If you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need. So crazy. Coming up on the show today, we've got a lot to get to. Let's see. We've got some small town news from Iowa. Let's see. There were some people that chartered a bus to a Trump march and it didn't show up and they were mad, but it didn't show up for a different reason. Plus we've got we're going to hear from how did that get crossed out on my list? We mentioned the YouTube channel. Check out the Darling New Media Facebook page and Instagram as well for all the stuff going on here.
Bam.
Big announcement for Darling New Media. We will be holding our grand opening celebration Monday, October 28th from 4 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
So right here, 730 Howe Avenue, Suite 425, we will be having refreshments. We will be showing people around the space, what we can do here. And I'm toying with the idea of doing a live podcast, this podcast live as a wrap up to the festivities. We'll be having door prizes as well.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Some good stuff going on Monday, the 28th. Hopefully we'll get some media types out here to cover it too, but, you know, just want to get people out to kind of see, because as an abstract concept, it's one thing. But when you actually walk in here and kind of see what everything is, how it works, what it really looks like. I mean, you can see on video what it looks like right now if you're watching on Facebook. But there's something different when you walk into a studio and go, oh, it feels like.
oh, this is different.
It feels like a studio.
Yeah.
So it's not radio studio. It's podcast studio.
Podcast.
Right. Studio. So it's not as pretentious as a radio studio. We didn't pay an engineer to scratch his butt to put this together. I scratched my butt while I was. No, I didn't.
You never do.
No,
that's against your moral code.
Well, you'd want to wash your hands before you started putting stuff back together again.
Yes,
that's true. What I'm saying.
True.
Engineers don't follow that rule. So if you go into a radio studio, it's gross. It's true. It's true. A little behind the scenes of the radio world.
Oh man, come on.
So Kareem, last week you mentioned that you had hurt your knee while sleeping. We have a diagnosis now.
I have a torn meniscus.
Damn.
For the uninitiated, that's the cartilage in his knee.
Yeah. So it's one of those injuries where there's not a whole lot they can do for it.
That's not true at all. I had a torn meniscus in college and they sewed it back together again.
Yeah, but you exploded your knee. That's a different story.
Yeah, I was actually playing baseball. I wasn't sleeping at the time.
Right. But for regular people, there's not a lot that they do for it except for go in. The only thing they really do is if the tear is actually comes off and it becomes an impingement in your knee.
Sure.
Then they'll go in and
clean it up.
And they'll clean
sounds
it up.
So fun.
But other than that, they don't really do a lot for it.
Yeah, mine actually tore almost in half, and one half of it flipped up over the front of my kneecap.
Yeah.
Damn.
And the cool thing was when I had the operation, I got a spinal, mm-hmm. so I could watch it on the TV.
Ah, shit.
So it's really cool when you watch someone operating on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my daughter did hers, and all they did was clean it up.
Yeah.
Like I said, and otherwise, there's not a lot they can do for it. You just kind of hope the blood flow goes back, and you kind of wait it out, and hopefully it heals.
I think they. I don't know. I don't know what happened to mine.
Oh yeah, you had a lot more major knee injury. Everything in your knee blew up. It was bad times.
Yeah,
but to be fair, that mountain is your bitch now.
It gave me a lot of character. That's for sure. Thank you, Mountain.
Yep, yep. The mountain made him humble. Iron Sheik style. And this weekend you had, Jason, you had your daughter's third birthday party.
Yes, we did. Yep. I planned it. And it was all my doing. So I felt pretty good about, it's pretty cool. Yeah. PJ Mask theme, because that's CJ's favorite. Probably favorite thing. Mm-hmm. We had Allie, who does bubbles, and Miss Pops.
Oh, cool.
And she was out there. I think the adults enjoyed it more than the kids almost.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
No, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Other kids from the park wanted to play too, so they played for a little while. But then all of a sudden it was like only kids from the park were playing. Like they all the kids that had been at the party all got kind of squeezed out, but they'd already been doing it for like 50 minutes. So, it was only an hour, so whatever. So it was cool. And then everybody came back to my brother and his friend and the kids and my cousin and his wife and their kids all came, and my mom and my stepdad and my sister all came back to the house, and I had nothing to make. But I had some pasta.
You didn't.
And
make
I had some
brisket.
Sausage. And I don't have fucking 20 hours to fucking make up a brisket right now, or 5 hours even. This is called
on standby, man. You always got one on standby.
Oh man, no. So I was able to make dinner for 15, 16 people.
Wow.
Within like 45 minutes.
Look at you.
Chef Boyardee.
That was pretty fun. It was cool to be able to feed everybody, not having to pay any money.
No, that is impressive.
Chris made a salad. It was a spinach salad with some other stuff. And we were able to feed everybody, and like people were able to have seconds. So that was cool. I don't know. There was something that was really felt like awesome about it. Then when everybody left at like 8:30, it was like, I was like in bed by 10. It was like done.
You felt like a grown up, didn't you?
That's kind of what it felt like,
Yeah, we and I texted you because
of course,
because we had wanted to go, and we actually did a drive-by of the park. But what had happened was we decided it was time to get our little nugget a high chair. So we had gone out to Bye Bye Baby in Roseville, and we found a high chair, which we splurged and got one that was a little bit more expensive because it's something you use every day, and going chintzy on it was not what we wanted to do. And so we had that. We had a bunch of other stuff in the back of the car, and it was open. And of course, we're driving. We do a drive-by because I'm like, okay, well, it's, I mean, Oak Park's not a bad neighborhood at this point. But I was thinking, okay, we'll be somewhere near the where the car is. But where you were in the park, there was a skate park between where we would be, where the car was, and where you were. And it's just one of those things where when you got a bunch of expensive stuff in the car, you don't want to leave it that far away. Because the party was almost over. There was like, I think, 40 minutes left in the scheduled party. B, we would have just been looking over our shoulders back at the car all the time with that, you know, that feeling like, oh, bye, I got to be checking in. Not that these kids that are skateboarding are going to want to steal a high chair.
But I don't know, those skateboarders. I was one of those kids.
Sure. Yeah. But it was one
I
of those
high chairs.
It was one of those things where it's like, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just go home. Let's just go home and put together the high chair.
I understand.
That was the adulting part.
Yeah, we I was like, because where we parked, I looked at my car the whole time. I was like in my full view the whole time I was at the party.
Okay, so you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean I get, but I'm also saying that we would have been able to see it from where we would have been able to see it.
Well, sure, but it was one of those things where I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Distracted.
Yeah, of course. And that makes complete sense. Because I would not leave anything out that people could see in my car.
Because being distracted like that at a party, you're no fun.
Oh, yeah. That's why. Yep.
You're not there. You're not participating. And so it's like, you know what? We're not going to be good guests. So let's just not be a guest.
Yeah. I don't know how many times kids got bubbles in their eyes at the thing. Like, one of the things that I should have known was, like, to keep some, like, bring a big jug of regular water so these kids could wash their eyes.
Yeah. I ended up with a flat tire on Friday.
Ah, fuck that shit.
I had a flat tire this week, too.
And,
what? Yeah.
Man.
After I went to the doctor, and then I went and looked at two jobs, and then on my way back, I realized I had a piece of metal in the tire. So I tried to make it a Firestone so that they could change it for me, and I didn't make it. I was probably about a half a mile. And by the time I finished that up and down with that Saturday, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday I got the flat tire, and I got out of the car and I could hear this sound. It sounded like static coming from the speakers. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And I realized, I looked down and I go, oh, it's the tire deflating rapidly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my father-in-law, I had the kid with me and it was time for lunch. So I went inside and fed her. My father-in-law shows up. He goes, hey, you know, you got a flat tire. And I said, yeah. So he helped me with getting it jacked up, and he actually took the tire to get it patched. Thankfully there was something in it and we were able to patch it. So it wasn't
I found out mine was, I was in Carmichael when I realized that the thing was in it. And I tried to make it back to Antelope. And I was like, fuck, please don't catch every light on the way back.
Oh, you should have stopped at Les Schwab. And done.
Well, I got the tires from Firestone, so.
Ah, gotcha.
It's a free fix.
Yeah, no, that's the way it works.
All right. Yeah. A quick update on Kareem Steelers. They did not lose this week. They also did not win, as they were on a bye.
Yeah.
So no closer to those four wins.
Just for the record, every team that we've lost to, their records are 20-4. So I'm okay with the teams that we've lost to at this point.
Okay.
With a second and third string quarterback. So yeah, we're good.
All right. Speaking of the NFL, last Monday night, Detroit lost to Green Bay. And of course, everybody blamed the refs. There were some bad calls. And I didn't see them. I'm not going to dispute the fact that they were bad calls, but this headline in the Detroit Free Press made me very happy. Detroit Lions made more mistakes than the refs. That's why they lost to Green Bay. Thank you. Thank you.
No.
Yes. Yes. No, it is, though.
The officiating this year has been horrible.
I know.
Across the board.
We can blame the officiating a lot, and the officiating may not be good. But normally when these teams lose these games that way, they made a bunch of mistakes to put themselves in a position where a mistake by the refs would cost them the game. That's why this is a refreshing article.
I mean, I'm going to have to agree with Nate on this one.
Of course you are.
I'm tired.
Dude, if you've watched any, it's not one game.
Yeah.
It's like multiple games every week that everybody's complaining about.
You know
about
what? I think Kareem has a pretty good point there. I'm going to have to go with him.
When Tom Brady's on Twitter talking about the officiating, that's when you know the shit's bad.
I'm not saying the officiating isn't bad. What I'm saying is, if you put yourself in a position to lose because of a bad call by the refs because you've had multiple failings throughout the game, you lost the game.
No, dude.
If yes, the official, you lost
if
the game.
If the official it makes a call that impacts the game, then the official caused you to lose the game.
No.
Yes.
You lost the game because you didn't execute throughout the game.
No.
That's why you lost the game. This whining that I hear all the time. But here's the thing. The officials are bad across the board.
Okay. Wait,
there's no inherent advantage by anybody.
So when the Saints lost in that playoff game, did the Saints lose the game or did the officials cause them to lose the game?
The Saints lost the game.
So did
look at the scoreboard. Did the Saints lose the game? Lost the game.
So that call had nothing to do with them losing the game.
Here's the thing. Everybody is victim to this. It's a roll of the dice. No.
That call had nothing to do with them losing the game. So that receiver just happened to run into the cornerback so he could get hit while the ball was on the way and not call it.
What about the other 59 minutes of that game?
What about them?
That's where they lost the game.
You're down to the last second of the game where you should win the game.
Look, we're recording this, the Patriots are kicking the shit out of the Jets.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how many calls go against the Patriots, they're going to beat the Jets.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because they're taking care of business the whole game long. That's why.
Yeah, when you're up 24 to nothing, but when you're down at the end of the game.
Because you've played like crap the whole game.
No, you haven't played like.
Yes, you played badly the whole game. That's why you're losing.
No.
You put yourself in a position.
If you played like crap the whole game, then the referees wouldn't count at all. Because you would be like the Patriots and you would be up 24 to nothing with 8 minutes left to go in before the half.
Now, are these accusations that the referees are making bad calls specifically to hurt specific teams? Or is it at random because the officiating is bad?
The officiating is bad.
Okay, then it's a level playing field.
It's not a level playing
field. It is. It's a level play. Everybody's dealing with the same shitty officials. It's a level playing field.
And it's still affecting the outcome of the games.
You know what else is? Not coming through the entire game and then blaming the refs because you had something go against you at the end. Period.
And it may not necessarily be at the end. It could be in the middle of the game during a crucial part of the game.
Is your argument that somebody's paying the refs off or that they're just bad refs? I mean, like that's the question for me. Like, are they bad refs or is somebody paying them off?
There are a lot of bad refs, and then there are some teams that get bad calls. Period. It's kind of like watching the NBA. If you go to a Kings game, if you go to the Kings get shitty calls like all season, no matter who they play.
Because they're a shitty team.
No, it doesn't. It shouldn't matter whether they're a shitty team or not.
I mean, unfortunately,
it shouldn't matter whether they're a shitty team or not. The game should be called the same across the board.
I don't know, but if you're traveling all the time, like, and they're calling you traveling all the time.
That's not how that works.
Well, here's the difference in the NBA is when you have established stars, they get a lot more leeway than younger players do. And the Kings are a team full of younger players who don't get the same leeway that a Steph Curry gets or something like that. So in those cases, yes, it is a bigger uphill climb for a team like the Kings, but the NFL, everybody is dealing with terrible calls. And when your hometown paper says that your team has only themselves to blame. I'm just saying it's refreshing. That's my only point.
Yeah, your hometown paper's full of shit.
Well, you can say that, but they're right. You know how I know? Scoreboard. Scoreboard is the final arbiter. All right, so.
That's right. Good. I want you guys to shake hands, give each other a hug.
So on the Sunday morning shows, of course, people from the administration went on. And Mike Pompeo went on this week with George Stephanopoulos. He this is not an incredibly comfortable exchange. Listen to the question.
Do you agree then with Senator McKessie that it would have been inappropriate to withhold the military aid unless this political investigation was pursued?
George, I'm telling you what I was involved with. I'm telling you what I saw transpiring and how President Trump was working to make the evaluation about whether it was appropriate to provide this assistance.
But that's what I'm asking is, would it be appropriate to condition that?
Yeah, George, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals and secondary things based on what someone else has said. George, you would have never done it when you were the spokesman. I'm not going to do it here today.
Except it's not a hypothetical. We saw the chief of staff, the acting chief of staff.
It is, George. If this happened, that is by definition a hypothetical.
The chief of staff said it did.
George, you asked me if this happened. It's a hypothetical. I've told you what I observed, what I saw the process related to this very funding. What we did and how we thought about that was aimed at the strategic interests of the United States of America in the right and appropriate way to ensure that there wasn't corruption in Ukraine that would divert these resources to an inappropriate place.
That was a really long pause. That was a really long pause.
He didn't want to answer anything. He was done.
Well, I'm not answering a hypothetical question.
That's a hypothetical question.
But the chief of staff said it happened. So weird. Anyway.
I don't understand. I wonder what the fuck these people are going to do after this. But then again, the media will probably give them a job.
Oh, well, Fox News has to hire people.
CNN's bringing on a lot of these motherfuckers as contributors.
Well, that's the thing is once you've been in an administration, there is some inherent value for you as a quote unquote expert because you can shed some light on stuff. Although this is such an aberration of an administration, I don't know that you can really shed light on what a normal administration would be going through. Because it bears no resemblance to that at all. At all. Did either of you guys watch the premiere of Watchmen?
No, I have not watched it yet.
I have not either. But apparently, in episode one, they recreated the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre, which exposed viewers to an ugly chapter. Now, a lot of people, I never had heard about the Tulsa Massacre. During school.
Is this Black Wall Street?
And it was unknown to many Watchmen viewers who then expressed their disbelief on social media. So that's quite a way to start a show off, to be like, oh, hey, they didn't mention that in any of the previews. So it's got allusions to the landmark 80s graphic novel that inspired it. Which thrills fans and newcomers alike, but a solemn nod to the real world events appears to have left the greatest impression on viewers. The pilot episode opened with a stylized, searing recreation of the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921, which was a 2-day explosion of violence in which white Oklahomans killed hundreds of African Americans and burned businesses in a prosperous district known as Black Wall Street. The attack is considered the single worst incident of racial violence in American history, according to the Oklahoma Historical Society. So what do we think about that?
I used to work with a lady who was one of the survivors of that. She was a kid when it happened, but she was one of the survivors. So that's where my first knowledge of it came from. And I was probably like 24.
Oh, it's from this?
Was from her.
Oh, yeah.
And so I did research. I actually been to Black Wall Street since then. The first dropping of bombs on people from the air in the United States of America. It's one of the things that it's famous for. But it's not, it's one of many incidents that happens where, you know, you give people a chance to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, and then they do, and then you get an angry white mob that come in to destroy what they built.
Does this make it more, you more or less likely to watch The Watchmen?
No, I mean, if you read The Watchmen, like, graphic novels, which I have, right. When I broke my leg, we were talking about earlier, it's one of the things I read. And I don't believe they actually touch upon that in the comic, but the comic's very much about making the reader feel uncomfortable and, like, showing pieces that, things that are ugly that you don't want to look at. It was the antithesis of superhero comic books when it came out.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was an anti-hero book. It wasn't, you know.
I'm going to go watch it after we get out of here.
So I think that's good, right? I mean, a bunch of white kids, all of a sudden realize about this thing and, like, that's not even 100 years ago. It's not even 100 years ago. Like,
close. 98.
Yeah.
But I find it funny that you get all these white people up in a roar about things in history that they didn't know happened.
I mean,
it was like when the History Channel showed their Hannibal documentary, and they showed him as being black, and all the people were upset about that.
I mean, I wasn't upset by it. Here's the thing. I never thought about it. And again, I grew up in Vermont where it was 99% white people. So most of the depictions of Hannibal, you know, he wasn't black, but when you consider he rode elephants from Africa, I mean, it shouldn't surprise you.
But yeah.
That makes sense.
There was an episode of the Cartwright Bonanza where they had Frederick Douglass as a black white guy.
I've heard a lot of good things about him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
He's one of the best.
Speaking of one of the best, so there was a march for Trump, and the organizers claimed that a bus line tried to kill their rally by not showing up. But here's the thing. They didn't actually sabotage the Trump rally. They didn't show up because they didn't get paid.
What?
A couple of hundred Donald Trump fans rallied outside Congress last Thursday for the March for Trump, an event meant to oppose House Democrats' impeachment investigation. According to organizers, though, there would have been hundreds more people shouting "Stop the coup" in Washington streets if not for a liberal plot against their buses. That's because as would-be rally attendees gathered across the East Coast for the U.S. Coachways buses that the organizer had promised would take them to Washington, the buses never showed. And the no-shows provoked a wave of anger, accusations that the deep state had colluded to stop a show of Trump support in Washington, and negative reviews aimed at U.S. Coachways. But U.S. Coachways has a simpler explanation for what happened. It was never paid for the requested buses because of a series of declined credit card payments. The chief marketing officer from U.S. Coachways said, "We wanted to get the people down there, but unfortunately, payment is required." Now, for those who made it, the missing buses were a subject of anger, consternation, and conspiracies. Oh, it's not like those people to have conspiracy theories.
Oh, God.
Rally speaker and One America News personality Jack Prosbeck, this freaking guy, compared the bus issue to social media companies deplatforming conservatives.
Pay your fucking bills. Mm-hmm. It was like the Minnesota Minneapolis mayor saying, "Hey, President Trump, you might want to pay us this time because you didn't pay us the last time you were here." Dude hasn't paid anybody anything across. With all of these rallies. Well,
listen, man, he has to pay all these attorneys for all these fake emolument laws coming through. You know, like these things are fake.
Now, one rally goer tweeted, "The deep state is diabolical," and another asked Fox News host Tucker Carlson to investigate.
Where's the money you donated to this jackass?
Yeah. Here's one of the tweets. "All chartered buses were mysteriously canceled last night on the organizers at 8:45 p.m. from all points across the country to D.C. Hashtag deep state is diabolical, but hashtag deplorables find a way. We are here."
The deplorables pay. How about y'all pay your bills?
Uh-huh.
Pay your bills.
Hashtag 1A. Hashtag liberal hate.
Huh. Hashtag deplorable U.S. female. Hashtag Navy. Hashtag vet. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Pay your bills.
You're right.
At Female Navy. Like, she's been on Twitter a while. Like, at Female Navy. She got that one. She pulled that handle down.
But had to take a bus.
That's it. Pay your bills.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, if you're reliant on a bus to bring into DC for your protest, you get what you get.
I just don't understand why their credit card is declined. Like, that's like,
well, it's because that one Koch brother's dead now. Yeah. Deep state declined my credit card. Oh boy. All right. Let's get the heck out of here with this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
So, fun story. I looked over at my recorder here on our audio board, and I never hit record. So it's a good thing we're doing video.
Oops.
Because that's where the audio is coming from.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's called built-in redundancies is what it's called.
That's what you do.
Yeah. All right. So, small town news. Coming to us from Algona, Iowa. Oh, there it is. Plenty of childhood passions end when kids graduate from elementary school, but the model train bug that bit Algona resident Arlen Benshotter 8 decades ago, that stuck. Now he has one of the largest model train layouts in the Midwest. It got too big for him in the house because he figures he has 400 engines. The playground now twists and winds through an 800-square-foot building on the fairgrounds. Said he's basically the only one that can run it. You might want to train somebody else, Arlen.
Yeah. It's not cool, Arlen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let somebody play with your toys once in a while, Arlen.
800 square feet of model trains.
That's almost the size of my house.
Yeah. We're doing demo in a house that's 800 square feet. Yeah.
I think the Darling New Media offices are bigger than that. In fact, I know they are.
Yeah. That's so large. That's a big area.
Yeah.
For trains.
It is a very large area. I had a boss who had a model train set in the basement of the radio station.
Oh, wow.
And it was the entirety. I went down to the basement once, and I'm like, holy hell. It was this table about 4.5 feet tall with model railroads on it, and it went the entire length of the building. I don't know if it was 800 square feet, but it was a good 500.
Damn.
Wow.
Huge. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Thank you for joining us live on Facebook or on YouTube, or if you've downloaded the audio that I've pulled out of the video.
Just to let you know that he can do it all, though.
I can do it all.
Do it all.
I can do the magical stuff. All right. Have a great one. Congratulations to the Sacramento Public FC for being the 29th Major League Soccer franchise. We are an indomitable city and an abominable snowman.
Yes.
Yep. Happy birthday.
We'll see you Friday with another fresh new episode of the WTH Podcast. Bye, everybody.